So the main thing is when we do these big removals like this, there's going to be snakes that crawl away once they get disturbed.
Last month, Big Country Snake Removal responded to a call near Albany. The homeowner had started to get under his house to fix a cable issue. He quickly backed out and called Nathan Hawkins, saying he'd seen a few snakes and wanted them removed. Those few turned out to be 45. And the video Nathan Hawkins and Maxwell Hicks recorded documenting the day's work went viral, capturing the attention of news outlets, including The Washington Post and USA Today, and even reaching European and Australian audiences.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get this.
The video posted on Facebook has been viewed more than 2.5 million times. We'll have a link to it on our website as well. Maxwell Hicks joins me in the studio now. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Now, after watching this video, I have to say my first question is, why do you guys do this work?
There's a couple of reasons. So Nathan started the company when he was on Facebook, and he really thought it was going to be a side gig. And just because he kept seeing dead snakes on people's posts, and he knew for a long time that they were under houses. So he started that just to kind of help people out. And then I joined him about, I guess, a year and a half, 2 years into it after he had started everything. And it's just, you're not only helping people, but you're helping out the animal. You're essentially saving the animal. So it's definitely not something that's, you know, anything but passion driven. You know, we care about these animals and, you know, we love educating people. So
where does that passion come from? Where did you develop a love of reptiles? Because you breed them. You're not just taking them off of homeowners' properties. You're actually preserving them and breeding them.
Nathan and I have both been working with snakes our whole life. For me personally, my parents used to own a pet store when I was a kid, and it was over on Butternut Street here in Abilene. And we had the anaconda from the movie Anaconda, the original one. And, you know, we had tons of reptiles and different things like that. And then when I was about 5 or 6, we moved out to Holly, and I would still look around for snakes. And from there, everything just blossomed, and, you know, just it's a well that you can dive deep into because there's so much to learn. Mm-hmm. And so the more unexplored areas there are, the more that there is to just learn, and your passion just grows from there.
So 45 was how many you took out from under this house a few weeks ago. But that's not the most you've taken out in a job, right?
No, 45 is definitely larger than average. Average snake den size is going to be around 12 snakes, 12 to 15. So this was definitely larger than average, but it's not our largest by far. On jobs that I've worked with Nathan on, we've done 60. And then the most he's ever done right before I started working with him was 88. And both of those situations, they were under mobile homes that had those tarps, the moisture barriers, and snakes just love those. So we usually find a good number of those under there.
So do you have like a guarantee that if you still are seeing snakes under your house after you've removed 45 that you'll come back out and get the last couple of stragglers, or are you sure you've gotten them all?
So yeah, a lot of it depends on the situation. Every job's different. This one we were 100% confident. It was really clean under there. And despite the number of snakes, this was a really easy job. The hardest part about the job was definitely the wind on the outside. That's why the homeowner's worker was under there going to move the wire for the cable just because the wind had blown it off. So the hardest part was I would pick up the lid to the bucket. It was kind of more of a bin.
Right, and the storage bins.
Right, just that are claspable. And the wind would blow it off. And then I would go grab it, and I'd have two snakes, you know, trying to crawl out, and I'd just put them back in. But that was ultimately the hardest part of that job. But we've dealt with really difficult situations under porches where it's sealed from the outside, but once the snake gets under the house, it can get under the porch. So we're under the house digging rocks from the backside of the porch, and then we got to reach in with our tongs. We've been in a lot smaller situations. So this wasn't a difficult job, but the number of snakes was certainly exciting. We were really happy to help this guy out. So
one of the things that you notice in the videos, you are using kind of an extendable arm to grasp the snakes and pull them out, but you guys are just wearing t-shirts and ball caps. I mean, I would think that you might want some protective gear. Have you guys ever been bitten?
thousands of times by non-venomous snakes. Nathan's been bit over a course of 16 years of working with snakes about 7 times. I've never been bitten by a venomous snake, but none of that's been on the job. All of that's been for him as far as experience just keeping the animals and assist feeding them and just different things as far as working with them other than the job. It's just kind of our rule one as far as being under house is be aware of your surroundings. And we take a very systematic approach to things. So when we're under there, we're certain of, you know, what's around us. You know, we're keeping our head on a swivel. So we've had our moments where, you know, we've had to hold our breath. You know, Nathan's had a snake curl up beside him. I've had a snake just crawl right about 18 inches away from me. I'd been under that house for about 5 hours. That was wow. In Gale, Texas. That took a long time. They were hard to reach. We've definitely had our oh crap moments, but snakes aren't the monsters they're made out to be, and you know they're not out to get you. So understanding that and having that knowledge, I mean that's our biggest tool.
So you are a conservationist, and in the media reports, it was saying that you guys were relocating the snakes. Sweetwater's just down the road, and I think some people probably assumed that you were donating them to the roundup. Some people going to keep, you know, track of them until it's time for the roundup, but you're particularly critical of the roundup.
Right. Yeah, we are definitely on the conservation side of things. You know, we do get that question a lot if we take them to the roundup or how much we sell them for. And, you know, I think a lot of that's a culture thing in Texas. But the big thing as far as Sweetwater, you know, population control is kind of a fallacy. You know, you can't compare rattlesnakes to deer or hogs. Deer are, you know, tier one consumers, and then hogs are invasive. You know, rattlesnakes are a predator. You know, they're a regulator. So there's a predator-prey relationship. You can't hunt them like you can other species because the dynamic's not the same. You're not controlling the population. The ecosystem will do that. And then gassing. Gassing can dislocate dens and bring snakes to residential areas.
Let me just say, gassing is how some of the rattlesnake hunters for the roundup, they'll put gas into a den to kind of get the snakes, I guess, a little bit more settled down so they can capture them. Is that correct?
Right. So a lot of the hunters, they kind of have a script where they say, you know, oh, we only use the fumes because of the controversy behind it. But if you go to the Texas Parks and Wildlife document page, and you go down, and it averages about 1 cup of gasoline per den. And, you know, that's straight gasoline going into a den. And if you think of a snake den kind of like an ant farm on its side, if you're looking at these hillsides, there's tons of tunnels, crevices, rodent mittens, and places where, you know, you're never going to get all the snakes. You know, you might get a lot of them, but the communal part of that den can become uninhabitable. And what's a very large possibility is that they have one functioning lung, so they'll say, no, this is not good for us, and it dislocates them, same as, you know, development would, and it puts them into different areas. So, and I mean, we've seen it time and time and time again. A big indicator of that is when we go under house and we see first-year babies with 5.5-foot dominant males, you know, more dominant males typically push out younger snakes because they don't want to compete for their girlfriends come springtime.
What did you do? I mean, so when you say that you're relocating them, where are you putting these snakes?
So if you think about how vast Texas is and how many acres there are, doing as many jobs as we do, we meet a lot of people who, after we talk to them, they have a lot of land and, you know, they want to stand on the conservation side of things. And so if we inform them about the damage that rodents do and, you know, different things like that, we have tons of people who are happy with hundreds of snake dens that we can take these snakes to. The two things we make sure of is that they're not going to encroach on people or livestock and that we don't overpopulate a den to where the snakes would essentially starve. So we do a lot of pattern surveys. We do a lot of population studies. And I always tell people, when we're not looking for snakes, we're looking for snakes.
So as you're saying, you're looking for snakes all over the state. You're local, but you also have contracted with Customs and Border Patrol and many different parts of Texas. How much demand is there for these services?
there's definitely a large demand for it. A lot of people, you know, they're really happy when they find out that, you know, backcountry snake removal exists. And, you know, a lot of stuff travels through word of mouth. A lot of it travels through news and social media. But jobs like the U.S. Border Control, it's one guy told another guy who told another guy, and we ended up with that job. And it's just we're always pleasantly surprised when we get certain jobs like that. I always joke around that I'm still waiting to go to the Bush Ranch, President Bush's ranch, and look for snakes there. But pipe dreams.
Okay, so we are living in Texas, and I think a lot of people who did see the video that you guys put up and maybe have seen some of your other videos where you're working, you know, they're saying, I am never crawling under my house. I'm concerned about, you know, being out hiking or something like that. What are tips that you have for people who want to avoid snakes?
So one thing I want people to understand is, you know, just because we're not for killing rattlesnakes, that doesn't mean we want them on your front porch. That doesn't mean we want you to lay in bed with them. The best thing you can do is keep your yard cleaned up, keep things mowed, mothballs, snake away, sulfur, none of that works. I once had a lady call me and she said, I heard garlic keeps them away. I laughed. I was like, no, ma'am, that's vampires. And we... but yeah, just keep things picked up. If you have a fence, you can look into snake-proof fencing. We have photos on our Facebook page of how that's done, or we have a guy who we contract and he goes out and he does that. It's just about awareness. You know, if you take one big step back from a rattlesnake, you're safe. You know, they're, like I said before, they're not out to get you. And they're just looking to defend themselves. So most snake bites happen from people messing with or trying to kill the snake. So if you're trying to stay safe from a snake, just don't put your hands where you can't see them. And then if you do see a snake, don't mess with it. And then the best way to keep them away from your home is just to keep things picked up, cleaned up. Snakes need two things primarily, food and shelter. And they get most of their hydration through their food. So if you can deter those two things, then you're good.
The comments posted with the video said that if people would like a snake inspection or removal or need rattlesnake avoidance training for their dog or are interested in snake-proof fencing, that they can get in touch with you. So besides the calls from the media, has this attention boosted your business?
Definitely. I would say that we're pretty booked through May, you know, just every day we have something, and it's really exciting. I think the best thing that the media has done for us is given us a platform to educate. One of the things I'm most thankful for is that it gets the conversation started, and I'm always happy to talk about snakes. My girlfriend always kind of rolls her eyes, you know, when I get started because, you know, I can go on for a while. It's not a super extreme thing to appreciate snakes. You know, you just have to learn a little bit about them.
Well, thank you so much for coming in to have a conversation with us.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Maxwell Hicks is a snake wrangler with Big Country Snake Removal. I'm Heather Claiborne.